This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you back a returning guest. They were on the show back in January 29th, 2018. We're talking no other than Cobalt Power Group. There has been some management changes there, and we're going to talk about that today. You can find them on the OTC market under the ticker symbol CBBWF. You also can find them on the TX Venture under the ticker symbol CPO. And with us today to talk about his company is Chris Healy. He's the vice president and of exploration and the director of the company. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Everett. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Give my listeners a little bit about statement of how you guys make your money and what you guys do up there.
Well, we're what's classed as a junior mining company. We are exploring for mainly cobalt, but the projects we have are probably better classed as polymetallic. We have significant amounts of silver, and along with that, copper, nickel, zinc as well, but cobalt is the focus, hence the name of the company. And we're working mainly in the Cobalt Ontario mining camp, very appropriately named area, north of about 4 hours drive north of Toronto. So very accessible.
Yeah, let's talk about the size and quality of your land holding in the cobalt camp.
Yeah, we have probably the largest, or if not the largest, one of the largest packages of land that any company holds. People are constantly adding more stuff to their portfolio, so it's sometimes hard to keep track of who is what in first place, but we're right up there. And not only are we have we acquired large tracts of land, we've acquired quality land. We don't go for just acreage. Hectares. If it's not quality land, I'm not interested. And so we have lots of potential on our grounds. We have old historic mines from the early 1900s with lots of past production. And what's interesting there is that although the area is called cobalt, it's actually a silver mining camp. And historically, cobalt was mined from time to time during the Second World War, strategic reasons, but mainly the cobalt was a nuisance to the silver miners. It occurs in the same veins as the silver, but not directly associated with it. You don't get high-grade cobalt and high-grade silver together. So the silver miners went in and mined the silver. When the grade of silver dropped, they stopped mining.
I see.
And that's often where the cobalt grade picks up. So now, today, you can go around our Smith Cobalt Shaft, one of our first properties. There's a large muck pile from the mine, waste rock, as it was then, that we've sampled and grades 0.5% cobalt. And that was just waste. So the message there is, even though some of these mines may have been thought to be mined out, they're mined out for silver, but not for cobalt. The cobalt was left behind.
Right. At my dinner table, we don't usually have a lot of conversations about cobalt. It's not at the top of our list. But why are you guys mining cobalt? What's so important about cobalt, and what does it mean to the market space?
Okay, well, that's a good question. Cobalt has seen a huge growth demand growth in demand and in price, because it's a key component of storage batteries for electric cars. They're known as lithium-ion batteries, but in truth, they have pretty much as much cobalt as lithium in them. And I think we all know what the future holds for electric cars. It's just immense. And that's why the price of cobalt is growing so rapidly. When Cobalt Power got into the cobalt space, just about 2 years ago, it was trading for about $10 a pound on the London Metal Exchange. Today, it's about, I just checked a few minutes ago, $32.
Wow.
A pound, U.S. And it's just going to keep on growing. It has to.
So as a junior mining company, Do you guys farm that out? I know you recently did a 43-101 on your Smith project. How does the revenues fall on your balance sheet, and when will that happen?
That's hard to say. We are at the exploration stage. We're fairly early. We are having some success in drill programs from last year. And I'll talk a little bit more about our exploration plans, our work plans, in a moment. We need to get, obviously, to get a mining operation, we need to get sufficient resources outlined. And we have a plan in place over a few years to that is spelled out in that 43-101 technical report. There's a recommended program which is designed to take us to the point where you can move make a decision on whether to actually go underground on some of the historic mines and open them up and start mining. So it's probably a 2-year process before we would get to a stage where we could say yes, we are ready. But you know, that's an aggressive program. I think the market requires an aggressive program.
Yes, absolutely. And go ahead, if you would, maybe tell my listeners a little about your current exploration programs and where, because you guys really don't, you just have a small window from April to maybe, I don't know, August or September, and then after that you guys shut down because of the weather. Is that correct?
Not true. Not totally. Right now we have a crew of geology students ranging from third year undergraduates to one young lady who's already has her PhD. So we've got a very experienced crew of students. They're out mapping, sampling, and prospecting over some of our areas. That of course has to be that's summer work. Usually we start around June 1st, and we'll go to the end of the field season for them is when they have to go back to school. But for drilling, in some cases actually winter is better because you get swamps, creek crossings, and things like that. That when they're frozen, you can get through them. When they're when those swamps are wet, you can't drive across them. And in northern Canada, a lot of field a lot of drilling is done in the winter. It's just the drilling companies are geared up to do that. They're all winter. Everything's winterized. And the one good thing about working in the fall and winter, no bugs, and they've been really bad this year.
My guest today is Chris Healy. He is the vice president of the exploration and also director of the company. We're talking about Cobalt Power Group. That's the company that we're highlighting today here on Stock Day. And you can find them on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol CBBWF. You also can find them on the TS Venture under the ticker symbol CPO. Chris, let me ask you this. With the rapid rise of cobalt prices, is there a need to secure North American suppliers? How many suppliers are out there? And time that you guys bring the cobalt to the marketplace, is there going to be, 20 other companies going to be joining you? So I'm kind of asking about the supply and demand when it's your guys' time to come to the marketplace.
Well, currently, about 60 to 65% of the world's supply is coming from the Democratic Republic of Congo. I'm not sure why they call it democratic, because a bit of an oxymoron, but
right.
I think we've all heard about the issues there with human rights, child labor, corruption, and so on. And this has prompted Elon Musk with Tesla to say, I will not build batteries for my cars with cobalt from such a location.
Right.
It has to come from secure, properly managed operations in a place like in North America.
Exactly.
He wants to have all his supply in North America. So yes, there are certainly other suppliers that will be opening up, but usually they're going to be byproducts. Some of the big nickel operations do have cobalt as byproducts, and I would imagine they'll be upping their production, their recoveries on that. But with the increased demand, there's going to be lots of room for new companies.
Thank you for answering that question. The next question I had for you was the acquirement of Western Cobalt. Is that a done deal, and when did you pick that property up?
Well, that was this spring we acquired that, and that is a done deal. The Western Cobalt project is in the Athabasca Basin of northern Saskatchewan, which is renowned as the home of the highest grade uranium deposits in the world. Now, I worked there for many years back in the 70s and 80s, and it was well known at that time that the uranium deposits, often and certainly on the eastern margin, which is where our project is, often have substantial amounts of cobalt, nickel, molybdenum particularly. The West Bear deposit was a well-known uranium deposit that owned by a company called UEX Corp. They, this spring, decided to examine the potential for cobalt in their property and found pretty spectacular numbers, 2-3% over 10 meter widths and so on, quite near surface. So we immediately got in and acquired land directly adjacent to them. The geology is very similar, and so we're quite encouraged about the potential to find similar deposits there.
Chris, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. It was a pleasure to have you on there. In closing, is there anything that we didn't get a chance to touch upon that you would like to illustrate to my listeners?
Just on our exploration program for the summer, we are using the prospecting and mapping that our students are doing to focus, to target our drill program that's planned for starting in September. We will be actively drilling, and that's when we would expect to see some nice data coming out.
Thank you for coming on the show. If you want to take a look more of Cobalt Power Group, you can go to their website, cobaltpowergroup.com. Like I said, they trade on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol CBBWF. I think they're undervalued here at 7 to 8 cents a share. Chris, thank you for your time. Hopefully you'll come back on the show.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or the station.